listeners. I'm Joni B. Cole, host of Author Can I Ask You? In each short conversation, I ask a writer a non-writing related question that lets you and me get to know them just a little bit better as a person. I'm an author myself, so I'm always looking for an excuse to ask the odd questions. Let's get started and meet today's guest. Today, I welcome author Casey Dennis, also known as C.I. Dennis, to his devoted readers. Casey is who we have to thank for giving us five novels featuring Vince Tanzi, a 50-something retired cop turned private eye with a knack for finding trouble, both personal and professional. Fast-paced, sharp, and full of wit, there is no mystery why this terrific series has earned Tanzi and his creator both popularity and acclaim. Hey, Casey, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joni. Nice to be here.
Casey, I could talk to you all day about how much I like your Vince Tanzi series, but right now I'm thinking about the first time I met you, which was not through your books. Instead, this was when you were playing bass guitar in a band, and you and I got to talking during one of your breaks. Since then, I've heard you play lots of gigs, which brings me to the non-writing related question I'd like to ask you. Casey, I'm wondering, why bass guitar?
Well, when you're growing up and you're in a high school band, everybody wants to play the guitar. So you end up assigning the bass to whoever's the worst guitar player. And for me, it was serendipitous because I love the bass and it's kind of my voice. You know, I have a bass register singing voice. And so I hear and almost feel the bass in music more than anything else.
Well, Casey, I could say you've come a long way since those early days, since I hardly think you're the worst player anymore. I so admire you and your music. Can you walk us down memory lane to how you got from there to where you're at now?
Yeah, after high school bands, I really got serious about it in college and had my first paying gigs in a jazz band, a bluegrass band. And then after college, I ended up playing full-time for about 4 years. I played with Michael Hurley, who's a folk singer and really an interesting guy, great songwriter, still performing, was out in Oregon. I played with a group called Road Apple, and we toured around New England and wrote a lot of music, did a couple of LPs for Philo Records, and really had a good time. But then I realized that it was a little bit of a dead end financially, tried to get real jobs, but I've stayed with music as a sideline ever since then.
What were some of the bands you've segued into?
I was in a really wonderful bluegrass band in Connecticut for a couple of years called Last Fair Deal. They're still going, by the way. And then after that, I was in a band for 25 years called Dr. Burma, which played in Vermont, New Hampshire, New England, and really a wonderful group of people who are all my very close friends, you know, having played with them for such a long time.
Well, the Dr. Burma era is the one where I met you, so I can certainly attest to how good you were and how much fun you are to dance to. So you're working full time, but you have this side gig. How do you work that out?
It was mostly weekends that I would play and lots of weddings, clubs. So it worked out pretty well. I took a couple years off when my older kids were in their teenage years, just so that I was around more. But then, once they left the house, I started playing quite a lot again. And I also have been playing with a country band called the Stone Cold Roosters for about over 10 years. And that's really been fun because I've done more songwriting. It's country and Texas swing and one of my favorite genres.
Tell us a little bit about your songwriting. Do you have a couple of favorite songs that you've composed?
Oh, well, I have a thick file full of ones that will never see the light of day. And it took me a long time to really get to where I wanted to record something. But with the Stone Cold Roosters, we've recorded a number of my songs, and I've really had a fun time with that.
What were the titles of some of your songs that you composed?
Oh, well, there was Velvet Elvis, a woman who's in love with her Elvis posters and knickknacks.
Oh, Lord.
Then It's All Coming Back to Me Now was one of mine. That's a hangover song.
I'm sure it was not autobiographical.
Distantly autobiographical.
Playing so many nights for so many years, do you have any memorable gigs that stand out that really rise to the top?
Many, many of them. One of my favorites was where I wasn't supposed to be playing. I got married in 1997. And my band played with a substitute bass player who's a fine player. But I danced with Sarah, my wife. We had our bride and groom dance, and the band leader, Ted, said, hey, Casey, you want to get up and play a few? And I said, sure. So I got up and I played a few and I played a few more. And pretty soon it was like the end of the night. And so I wasn't much of a groom, but I had a really good time playing bass.
And how many years have you been married now, Casey?
That was 97. So what's that make it? 23.
Well, you once told me that you played for something like 300 weddings, and including the first and second marriages for the same bride. I'm just glad that Sarah didn't ask you to play for her next wedding after that first stint.
Right. Yeah, I was in a little bit of trouble.
I guess so.
We call it Sarah's wedding.
Any other memorable gigs?
With the bluegrass band in Connecticut, we played Hartford's Bushnell Park series as the opening act to Doc Watson and his son Merle. And it was a huge crowd. It was over 10,000 people. Beautiful summer day. And I sang a song I'd written with the band. And then I went home after the gig and I turned on the 11 o'clock news. And apparently the TV station, local TV channel, had rushed back the tapes because they didn't show Doc Watson on this, you know, the story about this concert. They showed me singing my song. And it was sort of weird moment, but a lot of fun to meet Doc. He was a real gentleman, as was his son, Merle.
Well, you kind of stole Doc Watson's spotlight there, Casey. What did it feel like to sing in front of such a large crowd?
It was terrifying and thrilling at the same time. It was a lot of fun. My son is the family member who does that all the time. He's an electronic musician and he plays for huge festivals. That's the norm for him, but it was a once in a lifetime thing for me.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, that's for sure, in terms of talent. What is it like to be in a band, especially a band that's been together for so long as you and Dr. Burma have?
Oh, it really is wonderfully comfortable. I mean, the great part about Dr. Burma is there's a distinct lack of ego, which, you know, can really tear apart bands and hurt the music. We work together. We try to make each other sound good. You know, it's worked really well. The music scene in Vermont, New Hampshire is just really a great music scene.
Certainly, I think it shows when you're on stage how close-knit and comfortable and affectionate this band is for each other and respectful of each other. So it comes through in the music as well. So I wanted to ask you, in your Vince Tanzi series, do you remember when you first got the idea for your Vince Tanzi character?
Oh, I do. In fact, when I met you, it was sort of germinating. And I don't think I'd written a word, but I just talked to you about how I had an idea and wanted to do it. And I wanted to write a private eye novel, but I wanted a character who was highly imperfect and very flawed. Because in many of the private eye novels you read, the character is practically a superhero and infallible. And that, I think, has been done. And I had inspiration from my uncle, who is long gone, but he was a Florida cop. He was an Indian River deputy sheriff and a wonderful human being. Taught me how to shoot and how to ride. And I got to ride around in his police cruiser and put my little brother in his handcuffs. And he was a, you know, childhood idol of mine and a great guy. And so I kind of used him as the springboard, but Tanzi is a totally different character from my uncle.
Well, I think you met your goal of creating a highly imperfect protagonist in Vince Tanzi. I can't help but also comment on how well-written these are, which is sometimes not as common in the genre. So to get this wonderful, fully dimensional, entertaining, fresh character and have these books be so well-written, I really want to say congratulations, Casey. From the day I met you and you were talking about wanting to write these books, till 5 books and one in the making later, what a triumph. So well done.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a group effort. I've had tremendously good coaching, certainly from you, and writing groups where people have given me good feedback, and what I call beta readers who, you know, have read full drafts, who've given me great feedback. And, you know, writing is called a solitary endeavor, but it really isn't in many ways between the, you know, the first line and when things see the light of day.
Amen to that. Well, Casey, if you have time, I'm going to ask you one last question that I like to ask every guest on the show. So do you have another minute or so?
Absolutely.
All right. Casey, if you wrote a 6-word memoir, what would it be?
I would say, how did I get so lucky? Because I really have been. It's a, you know, a good example is my Amazon experience. I put the first book out, I guess it's around 10 years ago, and it sat there. And that's typical because there are millions of books on Amazon that don't sell much. And then I put the second book out, and that sat there. And a couple months after I published it, sales exploded. And I'm not exactly sure why. But
did you do anything different? Any marketing through Amazon? Or
Very little. I think what happened was that Amazon has algorithms that pick up on, if you like this book, you might like that book. So I kind of fell in with a number of other PI books, and that made the sales blossom. And I also was lucky enough to get picked up by BookBub a few times. And every time you do that, you know, it's many thousands of new readers. BookBub has a huge reach. Yes, I've certainly put the work into it, but I feel like there's been a great element of luck. And I do feel the same way with, gosh, my personal life and certainly my musical life. I've been so lucky to end up playing with really wonderful musicians and great people.
It's lovely. It's wonderful to hear such appreciation. And I'd say, Casey, that you've paid that luck forward countless times to the people who've enjoyed your music and your books. And to me, who's very lucky to call you my friend. So thank you for being my guest. Also, Casey, please don't make us readers wait too long for the next installment of your Vince Tanzi series.
Joni, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Listeners, if you want to find out more about Casey and his terrific books, please check out his website, cidennis.com. So that's it for this episode of Author Can I Ask You? Thanks everybody for listening. And if you like what you heard, please spread the word and visit me on my website, joanybcole.com. In the meantime, take care, act civil, and don't be afraid to ask the odd questions.